May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 146. Where must a sinner fly who feels his guilty load and stands condemned to die out of the mouth of God? Can any door of hope be found, not any shore on nature's ground? 146.
Oh, May it please God to bless the reading of his word to the profit of our souls this morning. Let us turn to the book of Psalms and we read Psalm 107. Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished, and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it, and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. May God instruct us from his holy word and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty, most gracious, ever merciful and holy Lord God, do grant that we may be blessed with that access at thy throne of grace as we join together in prayer on this Lord's Day morning. And Lord, may we each be thankful that we are able to come together to worship. And grant, Lord, that we all may be blessed with that good and right spirit of worship. And grant, gracious God, that we all may be concerned with that desire that those ancient Greeks had when they came to Philip and they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And we pray, therefore, today, O Lord God, that it might be thy good purpose and favour toward us to reveal thyself unto us as thou dost not unto the world. And Lord, may we be truly so thankful that there is a great and glorious gospel. There is a great salvation. There is a great and glorious Saviour. There is a wonderful prayer hearing and answering God. There is a God who is full of compassion and mercy. And so, Lord, we're thankful today that as we gather together for worship, that we come to that great God. And then, Lord, remember us each with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit our souls with thy salvation. Indeed, Lord, we earnestly pray, leave not our souls destitute. Lord, we are dependent upon the work of thy Holy Spirit. But we're thankful to know that Holy Spirit does work. And we're thankful for the blessing the Holy Spirit does bring. And we pray we may know the favour of that even as we're gathered here today. Lord, we come confessing our utter unworthiness, our sinfulness, our shortcomings, our failings. Oh Lord, we are miserable sinners. But Lord, thou art a great God. And we pray then, as we come now, that we may know the wonderful favour of Almighty God, the one who created all things, the ruler of the universe, and yet that one who condescends to come down and to meet and to dwell with us. Lord, may we know the evidence of thy work amongst us today, so that we may have that wonderful proof the Lord is here. Accept our thanks, gracious God, for so many blessings and so many mercies. Lord, health and strength in good measure to all of us. Lord, the liberty to gather to worship. And Lord, the wonderful favour of the Word of God to be able to read and meditate on. And Lord, we seek therefore that our hearts may be opened to receive thy word. Lord, we pray that we take away any stony heart and grant, Lord, that heart of flesh, that we may recognize thy blessed and sovereign work of grace in our own souls, so that we do have a good hope through thy mercy of that great and wonderful blessing, the gift of eternal life. We pray, Lord, that the real things of religion concerning the eternal state of our soul may be uppermost in our hearts today, and that we may be continually concerned to have the evidence that it is well with our soul. Oh, we pray, Lord, that as we may be taken up in the week with all legitimate things, and Lord, sometimes find it hard to concentrate on the things of God, we pray that as we've come here this morning, that we've been able to leave in a natural way all the things of this world. We pray, Lord, that they would come therefore and fill our hearts with thy favour, with thy grace, with thy love, with thy mercy, so that we may indeed have great cause and to go on our way rejoicing for what the Lord has done. Oh, gracious Lord, we know that thy arm is not shortened that it cannot save, nor thy ear heavy that it cannot hear. But, Lord, we realize our sins separate between us and our God. But, oh, Lord, we pray we may see that all our sins and know that all our sins are washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we pray today, Lord, we may have the evidence that by thy wondrous grace we are clean. Lord, thou hast delivered us from the power of the devil. But thou hast come to us and created that new life within. And Lord, enabled us by thy grace to set our hearts and our affections upon things above. We give thanks, Lord, for the word of God. Lord, amazing truths we're able to read, encouraging words. And we pray, Lord, as we read that 107th Psalm this morning, O Lord, that it may have touched our hearts and we may realize the wonderful words spoken, how encouraging and confirming to the true seeker, for those who desire to know that they are amongst the redeemed of God. And Lord, whenever we read the word of God, we pray that we may read it as the word of God and not as the word of man. And Lord, that it may speak to our hearts. Lord, we live in a dry land. But Lord, thou canst feed us through thy word with those springs of water. And Lord, we pray it may be so. That we may come in accordance with those words. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come eat and drink. Lord, may we come then today, oh, to those living waters which are to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, may that be as a well of water springing up within. Lord God, we are dependent upon thee for these things, but we would pray for them. We would desire them. Lord, we long for days of true spiritual prosperity. Lord, we pray for it. We pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit may descend and come into our hearts and move our spirits. Lord, let us never be satisfied with just an outward form of religion. But, Lord, may we each be really concerned to know that we do possess the life of God in our souls. Oh, Lord God, come, we pray then today, and do great things. Lord, we are thankful to know and to believe we have a great God who is able to do far more and exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. And so we pray, Lord, for thy people here, the church and the congregation, Remember each one, Lord, and grant they may grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray there may be a continual movement of thy Holy Spirit evidenced here among them, and there may be a much heavenly conversation, Lord, one to another. We are constantly conscious of that word in Malachi, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And we pray that it may be so as a wonderful evidence that we do fear the Lord. Oh Lord, let us not be found amongst those whose mouth the devil shuts, but Lord, grant we may desire to exalt his name, the name of our Saviour, for all that he has done. And Lord, to remember those gracious words, let us exalt his name together. Oh Lord, may it be so in this people here. Go on, Lord, to do great things for them, for each one, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, we pray that thy work may continually appear. Lord, we love to see the work of God appearing. And Lord, how encouraging it is. And may we see much of it here in this place. And so, Lord, hear us then when we earnestly pray, thou wilt come and do great things. Lord, we're thankful for every mercy, for every favour. And we pray, Lord, for the children and for the Sunday school, Lord, do bless them. Grant that they may early come to know the Lord, whom to know is life eternal. Give the teachers much grace, wisdom, understanding as they labour on in this work. And may they constantly be reminded that in all labour there is profit. May they never be weary in well-doing. And we pray that there may be much cause, perhaps in years to come, to thank God for the times when that were spent in the Sunday school here. Lord, we pray for the deacons and the responsibility that rests upon their shoulders. Continue to uphold them, encourage them, strengthen them, and may they feel that the Lord is with them. And Lord, we think of the Church of God worldwide. Lord, we are thankful to know some of thy people. We realise there are many we know not. And Lord, we pray for them. And we pray for those people that we do know who labour in the gospel in other countries. We think of James and Elsie in Kenya. We thank you, for Lord, for the help given to them. And we pray, Lord, that we'll continue to mightily bless that work. Lord, as they labour there in that difficult condition, difficult country, we're thankful, Lord, for the many ways thou hast appeared, and we pray that it continue to appear. Especially, Lord, bless James as he preaches the gospel, may have free course and be glorified, that many, many sinners may be converted unto thee. We pray for Elsie and her helpers in the Sunday school. Be with them, bless them. And all the children that gather, Lord, we're so encouraged to see so many children desire to come to their Sunday school. And we do pray that thy Holy Spirit may work mightily, Lord, in their hearts. And Lord, we would think of those that we again support with the Savannah Trust in the north of Ghana. And Lord, we are so glad to hear the good news of those 45 people being baptized recently. And we pray, gracious God, that thy work may wonderfully continue there. Lord, as the work starts in a very small way, and Lord, it has wonderfully expanded. And we pray that we go on to bless all the many people there in that part of the country which not so long ago was so given over to witchcraft. But Lord, we rejoice in the sovereign grace of God. We continue to prove that nothing is too hard for our God. But help us, Lord, to pray much for thy blessing. Oh Lord, we think of those glorious words in Thessalonians that Paul wrote, to pray without ceasing. Oh Lord, that it may be so, that we may pray our way along day by day with that communion, union with our God. Oh Lord, do be gracious. We think of our nation in these dark days, Lord. Again, we pray there may yet be an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, remember our government. Lord, we don't deserve any favour. Our government have turned their back upon thee. Our nation has turned our back upon thee. And Lord, we follow evil and sinful ways, so contrary, Lord, to the word of God. But Lord, we commend our nation to thee. We commend our parliament to thee. We pray that thou would turn them. Lord, the word of God, turn me and I shall be turned. O Lord, grant the wonderful work of thy Holy Spirit that in our nation there yet may be an awakening to the terrible condition that we're in, and a true seeking unto the true God. O Lord, we pray for all those who preach the gospel in our country and throughout the world. Stand by them, Lord. Many in other countries have great problems in being able to freely preach the gospel. Many are persecuted. Many are imprisoned. Gracious God, support and bless those who desire to spread the word, those whom thou hast called to do this great work. Lord, wonderfully bless, we pray. And so, Lord, we've gathered here now this morning. And Lord, may it be, may all of our hearts have come with that desire to hear what God the Lord will speak. Lord, do not be silent unto us, lest if thou be silent unto us, we become like those that go down into the pit. Lord, bless us indeed. We ask it all with the forgiveness of every sin in the worthy and all-prevailing name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 218. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those that guilty stand. Wretches that feel what help they need will bless their helping hand. 218.
May it please the Lord to bless us today as we consider his word. Let us turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, and we'll read verses 1, 2 and 3. Psalm 107, and read in the first three verses. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. This psalm is a very encouraging psalm to those who desire to know that they are amongst the people that are referred to here as the redeemed. And the important aspect is, of course, that everyone needs to know that they are redeemed. And the words in this chapter are encouraging to trace out whether we are being led in that right way, and the Holy Spirit is with us, directing us in that right way, and evidencing to us, therefore, that we are the redeemed of the Lord. Because this chapter speaks in this way, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And what are they to say? They are to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and for his mercy endureth forever. And also they are therefore the ones who have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That means we've been saved. That means we've been recovered from the devil's clutches. Because as we are born, we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And no sinner will ever enter into glory. No sinner will ever come there, because heaven is a holy place. No sin is in heaven. So therefore it's so necessary that all of us have the evidence that we are amongst the redeemed. And to be redeemed means we have been saved, and we have been recovered from that condition that the devil grasps us in. And that means, and that really means, that we are delivered from all our sin. We are forgiven sinners. No unforgiven sinner enters into glory. It means, therefore, that every one of us need to be numbered amongst those who are the redeemed. And to be recovered, to be saved from our sin, how is that to be accomplished? We can't save ourselves. No, because we're sinners. We can't save ourselves. How are we then to be saved? How are we then to be redeemed? Well, we're grateful indeed for the word of God. We're grateful for the words recorded in Peter's epistle, where he tells us, "Ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." But what is it? What's going to redeem us? But listen carefully, with the precious blood of Christ. Now, every one of us then needs to be blessed with this redemption. And this redemption is only through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means that we each need to know that we are there, and that we are under the blood. And in order to come there, the Holy Spirit will have convinced us of our condition, of our sinfulness, of our great need. And it won't be satisfying, you know, just to carry on in a traditional form. You see, it won't be satisfactory to just go to chapel all the days. It won't be satisfactory to be able to quote the Word of God. It won't be satisfactory to be able to quote hymns. They're all good things, but none of those things will get us to heaven. We need, therefore, every one of us to know that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. You know, the hymn that we just sang gave us some little indication of the condition that the Lord will bring us unto. And we're told in the third verse, we all have sinned against our God, exception none can boast. But he that feels the heaviest load will prize forgiveness most. And that's a very true statement, the hymn writer. He knew, therefore, that the value of feeling the work of the Holy Spirit in condemning us for our sins. And then you see, sin won't be light, it'll be heavy, it'll be a burden, it'll be a great weight. And we'll need to know, therefore, that that sin has been atoned for, the price has been paid to remove that sin from us. And the only price which is of any value is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my friends, covet to know the blessing of that you and I are under the blood. Now, I wanted to say that to start with, because that is who these words are addressed to, those who are redeemed, and to be encouraged, therefore, that we are amongst those who are redeemed. And this is the pathway of the redeemed, and it's good, therefore, to have such a record in the Word of God to encourage us, because the devil will say, well, if you're like that, you can't be a believer. Well, you can tell him, look to the Word of God, and you can quote the Word of God to the devil. You see, we all have an evil heart of unbelief. Don't listen to what the devil says. Listen to what God says in his Word. And what God tells us here is encouraging. So these people, who are they? We're told. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. What does that mean? That means the people of God, the church of God, the redeemed, find themselves in a wilderness. And this world is a wilderness. We're told of Jacob. The Lord found him in a desert place, in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. That was God's testimony of Jacob. And my friends, that's not just Jacob. All the people of God are found wandering in the wilderness. So what a blessing if God has found you and found me. And often then we'd also think, well, I just seem alone. Be encouraged. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. That means they weren't at home in the world. That's a good testimony, isn't it? To not be at home in the world. If you're at home in the world, if you enjoy worldly company, you have to question, therefore, whether you possess this wonderful proof of being one of the redeemed. And then they were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted in them. It doesn't say their body faints. This is a spiritual experience. And we're hungry and thirsty for the things of God. We're crying out for God. Is that your position? Are you crying out for God? Because we're then told, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And did the Lord hear them? Because they cried from their heart, the Lord did hear them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Now we must be thankful we have a faithful God. And the words that we have here are faithful words, and they are true words. And you and I, my friends, can grasp them by faith and lay hold of them, because every word of God is true. So if the Holy Spirit directs you to indicate and show to you that you're amongst these people, there's a clear position then, the indication that you are amongst the redeemed. And remember, this is the most essential thing that all of us, without any exception, must know. There's no possibility of anybody getting to heaven unless you are redeemed. Don't pass it off. Be concerned to have the proof that you are a true living child of God, because the word of God then tells us this. This is the path, and what does he say? He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And the right way, of course, is to make us see the emptiness of the things of this world. Solomon tells us, when he tried to find happiness in the things of time, he concluded, all is vanity of vanity and vexation of spirit. Now, naturally, we don't like to hear those words, because we want to find a bit of comfort. We want to perhaps settle down in this poor, sinful world. But no, God leads us not in that way. He leads us like this, these words described, wandering in the wilderness, solitary, no city, hungry and thirsty. And that does something. It makes the true believer cry to God. Cry to God. You know, in your heart today, whether you truly cry to God. It's not just a form of nice fancy prayers. The cry comes out of your burdened heart, that he will have mercy upon you. We're told, aren't we, by the Lord himself, about the publican who cried out of his heart, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Was that prayer received? I tell you, that man went down to his house justified. Yes, he had been moved by the Spirit to cry for that need of forgiveness. And he did so. And he was justified through it. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And with the indication, therefore, that by the Spirit of God, we now have a hope that we are amongst the redeemed. What does he say? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Because this is the work of God in the soul. This is not something that the flesh understands. This is not something that your nature understands. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's the blessed evidence, therefore, that such a path, such a description is encouraging if you can trace your spiritual life along this way. And we need to. We want to be able to trace out our life and to be a companion of the psalmist. Companion of the psalmist. And so he says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Are you longing for the Lord? Are you longing for his goodness? Are you longing for his favour to be shown to you? Are you longing to know his mercy? Are you longing to know his love? It's a very clear expression, isn't it? To long after something. Are you longing? Are you longing after the Lord? Oh, it's a blessed thing to be longing after the Lord. Not longing after natural prosperity, not longing after betterment in this world, but longing after the Lord. Longing after a revelation of himself to your soul. This is what you and I so need to know. And what does he say? He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The word of truth, the word of God, is wonderfully positive. It's not a negative religion. It's a positive religion because it shows the work of God in the soul and how needful it is that you and I have the evidence of the work of God in our soul. And he goes on, and it's good to have these descriptions to pick us up so that we can confirm, yes, well, I understand what the psalmist is talking about. I can understand this language because that's where I am. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. That's a very sad position, isn't it? It's a very solemn position. But it's a true position, because when the Holy Spirit begins to work in our heart, there's darkness. We sit in darkness and we realise we're there. And the shadow of death. We realise we have a lost soul. We need a saviour. Being bound in affliction and iron. And we can't free ourselves. And you won't free yourself. But the Holy Spirit frees. Yes. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you will be free indeed. It's a gospel freedom. And it's in Christ. And so, if you feel perhaps today in darkness and in the shadow of death, and you feel bound in affliction and iron, what will happen? I tell you. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. It will be a trouble. Cried out and they fell down, and there was none to help. Now you'll be dependent upon the Lord. You'll be shut up to God. What a good place that is. Shut up to God. Well, and then he goes on, because they're in this darkness, they're in the shadow of death, they're bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Well, we've all been guilty of that. We haven't liked to bow down before the word of God. We haven't liked to submit ourselves to the word of God. We found ourselves, therefore, perhaps not confessing it, perhaps not realizing it. What we've done, we've been rebelling against the words of God. Yes, rebelling against the Bible, the truth that it contains. We have our own ideas of salvation. And we don't want to have to forsake all. We don't want to take up our cross and follow the Lord. And we rebel. What does it bring us into? A healthy state? Not at all. Here it is described. Darkness. Shadow of death. Bound in affliction and iron. Because we rebelled against God. Oh, it's a solemn place, isn't it? The devil encourages you to rebel. Beware of that. The devil wants you to rebel. And he's pretty successful very often. He makes people rebel against God, against his glorious truth, against his wonderful words. And we rebel. And then we wonder why we're in a condition we're in. And we have to say, well, you hear people say, well, I don't get very much. Well, perhaps they're rebelling against God. Perhaps they're not truly seeking the Lord. Perhaps they're not crying unto God. But if you, as it were, by the Holy Spirit, being brought to your senses, oh, that's a mercy, isn't it? But God hasn't cast you aside. He hasn't cast you the rubbish heap. He hasn't forsaken you. No, he's being gracious. And what does he do? This is what he does. He brings down their heart with labour. He brings us down. He brings us down. And that's not a very pleasant position. But it's a very real position. He brings us down. He brought down Job, didn't he? He brought down Job so that he had to come and say, "Behold, I am vile. I'm vile." Yes, that was Job's confession. The Holy Spirit brought him there. And it's a good thing when the Holy Spirit comes and brings us there so that we understand it is indeed the work of the Holy Spirit and it's not our work. And he also went on to say, Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not." How foolish we've been sometimes, haven't we? "Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." And what was the effect? This was the effect. And blessed be God if it's the effect in our hearts. "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." The Apostle Paul spoke similar words, didn't he? "O wretched man that I am." And these are not phrases and words which are not known by the Church of God. When the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and deals with our souls, he brings us down. Brings down their heart with labour. They fall down. And there was none to help. But again then, the encouragement is, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble." And the Lord doesn't turn away. Isn't that amazing? His great love to his people. He doesn't turn us away. We deserve it, don't we? We deserve never to have any answers to our cries. But we're told here, "And he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder." And remember, it's the Lord that does it. And bless God when that occurs. And you'll know when it occurs because you'll be a new creature. You'll be in a different way. What will you do? Well, remember, the psalmist is a very full statement. He traces out the path. He traces out the down sittings, but he also traces the uprisings. And here he says this: "Having said that, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And it is a wonderful work when the Lord does that and touches our hearts and condemns us and then brings us out of bondage and out of prison. And that is when we find ourselves looking to the Lord Jesus Christ as our only Saviour. And we cry to him that he will come and have mercy upon us and pour out his blessing upon us and revive our spirits and speak to our hearts. When this comes, you see, oh, what a time it is of blessing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. When did you last praise the Lord? When did you last praise the Lord for his goodness in speaking to your soul? When was it? Perhaps you have to say, "Well, I never have." Well, that's sad, isn't it? That's tragic, isn't it? You come here Sunday by Sunday and sat and heard the gospel. Perhaps you've never heard it. Oh, bless God if it comes then and quickens you, makes you spiritually alive, so that as you read such an account like this, it enters into your heart. You can say, "Yes, that speaks to me. That speaks to me." We do want the word of God to speak to our hearts, don't we? We don't want it to just leave us just as mere words, just as words which don't touch us. We want our heart to be moved by the Holy Spirit, and bless God when that is so. And he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars in sunder. Yes, remember, it's God that does it, and you'll bless God for it. You'll have to. It's his work. He's done that which you could not do. That's a clear evidence of God's work. He does that which you and I cannot do. It's his work, and therefore he receives the honour, and he receives the glory, and justly so. And the sinner blessed with this glorious gospel freedom desires to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. Oh, my friends, there's power in the word of God. There's healing power in the word of God. When the Lord speaks to our souls, it does something. And when we're needy, when we've cried unto God, to know that word comes and heals us. And it does so when it leads us to Jesus. Yes, we see there in the Lord Jesus Christ all that we need. All that we need. Because he has kept the law on our behalf. We have failed so miserably. That's why we're such a miserable sinner. We failed. We've sinned. We've disobeyed the law of God. The blessed Saviour has kept the law. He's made it honourable. He's kept it for his people. So you see then, when the Lord Jesus came to pay the price for our sins, that price was an acceptable price with God the Father. And it was an enormous price that was paid. It was an enormous price. It was his life. His life. What a sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ made to redeem our souls. We who are by nature miserable sinners indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, in love to our souls, came into this sinful world and lived those 33 years and suffered that traumatic and terrible death of crucifixion in order to redeem us. And he shed, therefore, his precious blood. It will be precious, you know. Precious, of course, means it's valuable. And it is invaluable. Without the shedding of blood, we're told in Hebrews, there is no forgiveness. No, there's no forgiveness. There's no remission of sin without shedding of blood. But today, oh, rejoice in what the Saviour's done. And oh, may the blessed Holy Spirit apply the blood to our conscience, so that we have the blessed realization, unworthy as we are, as we cry to God out from our heart, the Lord hasn't turned us away. He's heard our cries. He's remembered us in our lowest state. He's lifted us up. He's established our goings. He's put us on a rock. The rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, bless God then today. If we have a hope in his salvation, nothing in ourselves, all the glory must come to him. The soul, then they cry to the Lord in their trouble. He saveth them out of distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would Praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You see, we began with this first verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his mercy endureth forever. And you will have to acknowledge it. And you would desire to acknowledge it. And will you want to sing it from the housetops? And who is he speaking of? He tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's not have our mouths shut. Let us say so to the honour and glory of God, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The Lord has, as it were, snatched you as a brand from the burning. There you were being consumed by the things of time and the devil. The Lord has come and plucked you out and shown you where you were and shown you the terrible condition you're in and directed you to that cry to God, cry to him. And then the Lord comes and says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. It's interesting, isn't it, that we have a statement like that, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I think it must be because naturally we are perhaps, the devil is trying to stop us being thankful and acknowledging what he's done for our souls. And therefore there is a sacrifice. We have to pay the price. We have to pay the price for our own self. You know, perhaps some people think, well, I'm very timid, I'm very backward. And you might need to make a sacrifice, therefore, and dispense with your timidity and dispense with your own feelings, because the love of Christ has been so great to you, you cannot but testify of what he's done. And let the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. In the 116th Psalm, the psalmist tells us, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now, in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. In this 16th Psalm, 116th Psalm, it starts off like this. I love the Lord. Why? Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. That means he's heard your cry. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The testimony of the psalmist. Oh, my friends, that may that be indeed our testimony, to thank and praise God for that. And so the psalmist then goes on to describe sometimes what we pass through. They that go down to sea in ships, do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Then they cry unto the Lord. Then they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Sometimes we come to our wit's end almost. What a blessing when the Lord comes and touches our hearts and shows us where we've gone wrong. Isn't that a wonderful favour? The Lord doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve. Otherwise we'll be cut off and we'll be found in eternal hell. We have a great merciful God. And that's why we read, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, what a merciful God we have. Bless God, he hasn't cut you off, sinner. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Well, of course, desired haven is glory at last. The church of God will come safely home. No one will be lost. No one will be forsaken. No one will be forgotten. You may sometimes think you're forgotten. No, you're not forgotten. The Lord waits to be gracious. The Lord waits to be gracious. Perhaps there's got to be a few more confessions. Perhaps there's got to be a few more acknowledgements of your sin. Perhaps there's got to be a bit more submitting under the mighty hand of God. And then this maketh the storm a calm, so the waves thereof are still. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. See, the psalmist has to keep on reminding us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And so, you know, he then says, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. It's testifying of what God has done. It is for his honour and glory. It's not for your honour and glory. It's for what he's done. Has he done anything for your soul? Has he? Don't deny it. Don't say, well, I think perhaps I only had this. My friends, a little the righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked. If it's the Lord's work, bless God for it. Praise God for it. Because he's remembered you in your lowest state. And so there is this wonderful blessing. He turneth rivers into the wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And he maketh the hungry to dwell that they may prepare a city for habitation and sow fields. And so he goes on. Well, whoso is wise, says the psalmist. Whoso is wise? Oh, that you and I might be spiritually wise. Whoso is wise and would observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Well, bless God today if he's given us an understanding of the loving kindness of the Lord to such an unworthy sinner. And what does this then bring us back to? It brings us back here, doesn't it? Whom he hath redeemed from the enemy. Well, my friends today, can we then come and bow down and thank God for his great love, for his great mercy, for his great favour to such an unworthy sinner, and therefore given us a good hope that we are amongst those who are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, my friends, to think then of that great day when by his grace we shall be found around the throne of God in glory. And it's the song of the redeemed, isn't it? The Apostle John, he records that in the book of the Revelations. And he speaks to us in the 5th chapter. He tells us this. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Well, that was the testimony that John saw, and what a mercy it is. Therefore, if you and I then, by faith today, realize that we have this Saviour, this great and glorious Saviour, who has redeemed us to God by thy blood, by his blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ takes away all sin, all sin. Yes, we are wonderfully blessed then if we have the evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in our heart, and we can trace out that by the experience that the psalmist lays before us in the 107th Psalm, and therefore be encouraged to know that we are amongst those who are redeemed. And if so, what's the result? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You must. For he is good. The Lord is good, isn't he? He hasn't dealt with us. He hasn't cast us aside. He's good. Can you say that? Can you come this morning and say, yes, the Lord is good. For his mercy endureth forever. His mercy has been to you when you wandered away from God, when you've been rebellious, when you've been hard-hearted, when you decided to go your own way. Bless God when he comes and touches our heart. And what is it? He makes us willing in the day of his power. Power belongeth unto God. The power of God that touches our heart, that makes us willing to forsake all, take up our cross and follow him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He tells us then, and gather them out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. They come from all quarters. God calls his people. And a blessing if you and I then have received this call of God, a call by his grace. We never deserved it. It's a free, unmerited favour. But it's the most blessed blessing you and I can ever have, which is really the gift of eternal life. Yes, the gift of eternal life. It's all of grace. Oh, my friends, may we go on our way this morning praising God for his great mercy, praising God for his wonderful love, and praising God that we have the Word of God, which traces out the pathway of a believer, those who are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And may we be able to trace out our life alongside that of the Word of God, and be encouraged to believe, therefore, we are amongst those that by his grace will one day be found around that throne of God in heaven, praising God and singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £705, and on Monday at our anniversary services for the Needy Cases Fund to £1,077, for both of which we're truly thankful. And Dr. Sadra also wishes to send his many thanks for the collection taken yesterday afternoon at the FGEA meeting, which amounted to £1,175. God willing, Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Philip Hare is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and there will be a church prayer meeting on Friday at 7:15. And Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day and also address the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 756. Exceeding precious is my Lord, his love divinely free, and his dear name does health afford to sickly souls like me. 756. Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.